Hello. Well, if you're still there, hopefully you are. We just lost 5 minutes or so because I had to restart the Spreaker studio. If it's not one thing, it's another. But we're here broadcasting delayed live from Firefall Talk Radio's new home on Spreaker.com. First problem that we've had with Spreaker, not happy at the moment. So let's get right to it. Praise report, prayer request. Brian and Kalioka, praise report. The house that you guys are praying for to close did close. So thank you to all who have been praying. Thankful for the season of rededication, reflection, and temple cleansing. Thankful for this ministry. Prayer healing miracle for Cindy, my wife Deb. Prayer to pray without ceasing and with expectation. For lost family members to be shaken awake and be saved and return to the Lord, for a reset and reflection during the season of light. Stacy in Fort Mitchell, the praise report is Neil showed her a research article about someone who had won a Nobel Prize for proving through quantum physics that the way we think of something affects it at a particle level. Actually, that goes back to the discovery of the atom when the scientists discovered that the neutrons that rotate around the nucleus, protons and neutrons, anyway, could not be seen until someone wanted to see them, and somehow our desire to see them caused them to manifest, which was the beginning of many people seeing things differently on a quantum level. Prayer requests. For whatever reason, everything's really intense right now. A lot of them in Fort Mitchell, the Fort Mitchell group, are having a hard time. Pray that it passes and we endure faithfully. Also pray to find the source and why the Lord's allowing it. Her daughter Emma is going on a field trip to Atlanta, so please pray for her protection. Lori in Fort Mitchell, comfort for family and loved ones, still holding on, praising God for his timing. Her son Jason also had a medical emergency yesterday. They've not discovered what caused it. So please pray. Yes, I can speak college educated that they figure out what it is. Kim in Fort Mitchell. She says she has praise reports, but mostly prayer requests. She's thankful for being saved. That says it all. Thankful for her that her son and daughter are saved. It makes things a lot easier. She's teaching them to be strong and not look back. Thankful for the show. Thank you, Kim. For friends who you can talk about with things, because not everybody wants to listen. Welcome to my world. She says something here that you guys need to listen to. She got caught up in praying over everything and anyone. And that's not what we're called to do. We're called to follow the leading of the Lord, the captain of the host, and not every assignment is ours. I think I've talked about that over the last 5.5 years. You will become overwhelmed if you try to take on everything. My thing is go to him first and get your assignment. So she's learned that, and that's good. You have to be still and listen. Pray for her family, her children, stepdaughter. Just pray for healing. Pray for guidance and protection. And we're going to touch all this when we get to the end, because I'm trying to speed up because we lost a lot of time. Nick in Dallas come down with some kind of a virus, so he's asking for prayers for healing and recuperation. I have a new prayer request from a friend of mine. I'm offering this, and she okayed it. Her name is Michelle. She's in Illinois. Michelle has the early stages of MS, multiple sclerosis. And she's done pretty good with it, and they've had the medication that's kept it under wraps. But lately, over the last 2 weeks, her right arm has become numb and spastic, which is what happens when the nerve endings become inflamed. So I'm not just praying for the healing in her arm. I'm praying for the gene that is in her body that has caused the MS to be gone, to be turned off. My friend Iva in Hollywood, I really don't know what's going on with her. I know that her family moved her to another facility up closer to where they were, and I've not heard from anybody, which does not bode well. So please continue that the Lord will heal and restore her mind, her brain. I'm going to offer a couple of quick ones here. Praise God for my health. It's getting better. We have a plan of healing and restoration. I'm excited about that. I praise God for my home, the ability to do this, the technology and everything he's allowed me to acquire. I praise him for the calling and the ministry. I just praise him for loving me, even when I was unlovable. And I thank him for that. Thank him for my home, for my family, my pets, everything. And I ask for his prayer and protection over those things. And I ask you, as the Lord leads, to remember that in prayer, to remember us, because it's a crazy world right now, and there's a lot of things going on, and a lot of what we've done in ministry, I've done in ministry, has put a target on our backs. Prayer request for my son, Chris. If you don't know it, Chris is my youngest son. He's the one that helped get me saved, part of my story. He has followed in his father's footsteps into the entertainment industry. He's an actor. He was an actor in Atlanta doing pretty well, but now he's taking the big jump to Los Angeles, and he's actually on the road with his two roommates in a three-car caravan. I think there's a song in there somewhere. And they're on the way to Los Angeles from Atlanta. It's about a four-day drive. So I'd ask that you'd keep Chris, his roommates, Chris's pets who are in the car with him, safe travels, protection, and guidance, and for the Lord's favor once he gets there. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the fact that I didn't give up, because I almost did. Thank you for the fact that you prodded me to press on. Sometimes we have to get over the hurdles. Sometimes we have to move forward, even when it seems that the world and life doesn't want us to. We thank you. I thank you for these people represented here, Brian and Cindy, Stacy and Neil, Lori and her family, Kim and her family, Nick and Dallas, my friend Michelle and her family, and my friend Iva. And for anybody else I prayed over the year, Father, I pray that you'll remember them. Bless the people listening. Even if they didn't get a chance to get their prayer request in, or I didn't get it, I know something's in my P.O. box, or maybe somebody sent something. I just pray right now, Lord, whatever's in that request be honored. You know it. I don't need to know it. You are the great I am. There is none like you. All things are possible through you. So now we come to you. We cleanse our minds. We open our hearts. We prepare for the word. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We believe and we receive in Yeshua's name. Amen. Lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information, the matter presented is exclusive and cannot be repeated or reused. Without permission, the date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So if we had to give a title to tonight's lesson, I would call it illumination. What is illumination? It's the action of illuminating or state of being illuminated. Spiritual or intellectual enlightenment, a lighting up. The word illuminate, it means to brighten with light. It also means intellectually or spiritually enlightened. Well, in this time of Hanukkah, it is a time of illumination. Now, Hanukkah, at its basic level, we've talked about this before, so this won't be new information. Hanukkah is about the rededication of the temple, and it's done so with light. Oh yeah, they needed oil, and we'll get to that, but it's basically about the lighting of the menorah, the miracle of the oil, and the rededication of the temple. You can't have one without the other. And if you remember nothing else from what I say, and hopefully that won't be the case, excuse me, but it's all about light, light and darkness. If you saw the new 5-minute reflection on the Firefall Network YouTube channel, you'll know it's called Shadows. And usually the Bible study influences the video. This is the time where the video has helped influence the Bible study. But we're living in a time of darkness, and we're living in a time with a lot of shadows. And we need to understand that. But Hanukkah is a Jewish festival. Commemorates the purification and rededication of the temple by Judas Maccabeus and his brothers in 165 B.C. It's always in December at that point. It was Kislev 25, 165 B.C. Basically what happened 3 years prior, Antiochus IV, the Syrian king. Trouble in Syria. Gee, I wonder if that has any modern-day implications. Antiochus defied the temple by erecting an idol to Baal Shemen, the Canaanite counterpart for the Greek god Zeus, which in actuality was probably more a representation of Zeus and the fallen angel that it represented. Some believe it's Hasatan, Satan. That's very possible. And what he did was he sacrificed a pig on the altar in the temple and proclaimed himself God and began to be called Antiochus Epiphanes. Well, at least he made people call him that. It was not something they called him by choice. And how we got to this point was Alexander the Great died at a young age. His kingdom was broken up into four parts. Because he was young, he did not leave any instructions or any leadership to hold it together, and it broke up. And two of the four parts of Alexander's kingdoms were the Ptolemies of Egypt and the Seleucids of Babylon and Syria. And that's what happened here. So basically, the people of Judah, who had returned from exile in Babylon and dwelled with a rebuilt temple in their midst. And Israel happened to be located right between Syria and the Egyptian-Greek sub-empires and was fought over heavily for the next 200 years. Isn't it amazing, this little bitty place called Israel has been fought over since the beginning of time. And it's because I believe when they say it's the apple of the Father's eye, it's because when he looks at the world, he looks at the world with his focus on Israel so that Israel is dead center in the pupil of his eye. And because of Israel's disobedience, they wound up having the enemy take them over many times. And in this time, it was the Seleucids based in Syria. First temple destroyed, 580 B.C. Jews are exiled to Babylon, as Jeremiah prophesied. 70 years later, they're allowed to go back. Nehemiah rebuilds the temple, Nehemiah 8, but still under foreign oppression. And then in 322 B.C., Alexander the Great comes through and conquers the area, including Judea. Well, Judah was changing. The world around it was changing. Hellenism and religious compromise was in fashion. And as I studied these notes today, I saw the correlation between then and where we are now, more so than ever before. The cities built the hippodromes for the public chariot races and the horse races. Stadiums were built for the games. Fashion for the athletes of the time was to be without clothes, which was a problem for the Jewish athletes of the day. Races, wrestling, and other games entertained the people in the cities, much like they do now. The cities of the Greek state were called the polis. They had libraries and courts and temples and places for all the eggheads to get together and discuss and learn. It was literally a state of the mind, gnosis. And folks, if you don't see a correlation to that in the body in the church right now, or what is called the church, you're not paying attention. We have so many people caught up in discussing this and analyzing that. And let's write 27 books about the same topic as if we really needed it. We're so caught up in knowledge, we forgot the truth. But see, Judah wanted nothing to do with the Olympian Zeus. They wanted nothing to do with the nude game. They wanted nothing to do with the Greek way of life, kind of the way we should be. But the nobility, the people of the money, the people with political aspirations, they were compromisers. They wanted to see the old traditions go away. And they decided that the old traditions are barbaric. Oh my goodness, circumcision. No, it's barbaric. We shouldn't do that anymore. I know you've seen that in recent headlines. And it was even embarrassing for Jewish men to participate in the games because everybody could see that they were circumcised. And instead of seeing it as a covenant with God, they tried very dangerous and ineffective ways to reverse the process, which makes me cringe every time I think about it. The compromised believer of the day, they wanted to end Torah study, Hebrew, Aramaic writing, gone. Hebrew and Aramaic speaking, they wanted it gone. They wanted to assimilate the common Greek language so that they could be a part of the world and be considered sophisticated. Wow. That's today. Let's get rid of the Bible. Oh, that's archaic. That was written for then. That's not for now. We need to assimilate. We need to be more like the world. Nope, 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 that's wrong. So what happened was a religious war developed between the observant Jews and the Hellenized Jews who wanted to assimilate into the Greek culture. They were disconnected from the temple and the things of God. So what Hanukkah does from a Jewish perspective is it commemorates the purification and the rededication of the temple by Judas Maccabeus, but also the return of the people to Torah and to the promises of God. As I've already explained in the past, the Pharisee system came out of this. They needed people to teach the Jews the word, the Torah, to enlighten them. And the Pharisee sect came about, and by the second and third generation of Pharisees, they were just as corrupt and compromised as the people they replaced. So you have Antiochus Epiphanes. He slaughters the pig, and he creates a problem. Didn't matter how crazy he was. Matter of fact, they called him Antiochus Epiphanes, which meant Antiochus the crazy one. But he declared himself as God, just like the Antichrist will do when he walks into the next temple, sits down on the mercy seat and says he is God. So Antiochus declares and decrees the Torah, no good. If you study it, you're under the penalty of law. Circumcision forbidden, Sabbath no longer, you can't keep it. All right, let's go right for it. Anytime you have a demonic leader in place, there's going to be a war against the word, and there's going to be a war against following that word. And you have a choice whether you're going to compromise or take a stand. You have a choice of whether you're going to give in and become part of the problem or you're going to stand up and be part of the solution. So Antiochus sends troops from village to village with the statue of himself, ordering people to bow down to it. And one day, it arrives in the village of Modiim. And they try to get a priest to participate in their sacrifice to Antiochus, and they can't. And under the threat of harm, an elderly man, one of the priests, steps forward to perform the ritual, but an observant priest, Mattathias, of the Hasmonean family, he kills him with the spear, and then he kills the soldiers, and the next thing you know, the Maccabean revolt has begun at the tip of a spear. Mattathias and his five sons and others fled into the hills and began a guerrilla warfare against Antiochus and the Syrians, Seleucids, that for 3 years they fought. People bled and died, but eventually Jerusalem was liberated and they got the temple back. If you want to read about this, you can read it in 1 Maccabees 1 and 4 and 2 Maccabees 6 and 10. 1 Maccabees 1 and 4, 2 Maccabees 6 and 10, and you can get them online if you don't have them. You can find access to these books. So the temple's a mess. It needs to be cleansed. It needs to be rededicated. And it comes time to begin Hanukkah, and all of the oil is contaminated, except for one cruse of oil. They find one cruse of oil bearing the high priest's seal, saying that it's good enough to be used. They don't have time to make new oil because it's going to take 8 days to do that, and Hanukkah will be over. Now, they could have given up. They could have said, hey, we'll just wait. But they didn't. And a miracle, according to tradition, occurred. That one cruise of oil lasted for 8 days, so that they were able to light each candle each night using the servant candle, the Shemas, and honor God and rededicate the temple. So what does this have to do with us? What does this have to do with a believer in Yeshua? Well, first of all, if you don't know by now, he acknowledged and celebrated Hanukkah, which in John is called the Festival of Lights, the Feast of Dedication. Go with me to John chapter 10, starting verse 22. And don't worry about the time, I will go over until I'm done. And now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Yeshua walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. The Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. And Yeshua answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, and because of that you are not my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I saw a video online. I'm going to stop here. I'm going to do that a lot in this teaching. I saw a video online of the demonstration of how a sheep know their shepherd's voice. And in this video, various people, I think three or four different people, go up to the fence and use the shepherd's call to call the sheep. And the sheep don't even lift their head. They don't even look at the sound of that voice. Then the shepherd walks up to the fence, and he gives the call that he uses to call the sheep. And all of a sudden they stop eating the grass. They turn their head in his direction. They begin to look up, and then they begin to move. And then they begin to run to the sound of his voice. It's awesome video. My sheep know my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Well, that didn't go over so well, so the Jews took up some stones again to stone him. And he answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. And Yeshua answered them, is it not written in the law? I said you are gods. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him who the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. See, they were not his sheep. They did not hear his voice. So during this time of dedication, he's there during that time to show the Jews a way to salvation. See, this Feast of Dedication can only be one of two things. Either it's an actual dedication of an actual temple, which unfortunately we do not have right now, but they did in Yeshua's lifetime, or there's another meaning going on here. During this time of dedication, maybe it has something to do with us as the temple. Maybe it has something to do with us as his holy place. See, he's at the temple. He's on Solomon's porch where he gave many declarations and many indicators of who he was, to the point that that's where the Book of Acts church would meet before they went house to house. So he has declared that he's the good shepherd. So the, again, I'll keep going, John 10 here. And then the Jews began to be divided and argue about the saying. One of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, those are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? See, we can see the messianic implication, but we're beyond that. We know that he's Messiah. And to go back and go over and over in this and to, you know, there are traditions even within the messianic community. Oh, you must read this and you must read that and you must do this. And I, you know, time out on the religious field. Time out. We're beyond that. The cross, the empty tomb, the upper, we're beyond all of that. We're into a different place. We're into a supernatural place. You know, at the beginning, we talked about the quantum realm and seeing things that can't be seen. And that's where we are spiritually. We're seeing things that were always there, that through the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, between being born again and having a different set of eyes, he shows us things. But if you want to go back, if you just want to keep going back to the old ways, to tradition, if you want to repeat and recite, go ahead. I don't care. But I'm going on. I'm answering the higher calling. I want what he has for me so that I can be a part of the end time shining of the light into the darkness to set the captives free, including the children of Israel. If you want to dance the old dance to the old music, go right ahead. I want to do what Yeshua did. I want to do what the disciples did. I want to do what the Book of Acts church did. And the only way you shake the world is to be living, walking, breathing, fire-filled, Holy Spirit fire-filled temples of the living God. But you have to be able to hear the shepherd's voice. So here we are, all this time later, and I don't think we've learned anything. I'm just being honest with you. I read a lot. I study a lot. I pay attention to a lot of what's going on in the world. And I'm amazed at how dumb his sheep are. But then again, I'm reminded that sheep are pretty dumb. Sheep will walk off the edge of a cliff looking for grass. And that's where shepherds come in. And that's where leaders come in. And deacons and elders and things like that. And for some of you, I've made the commitment to be your covering and to act as a pastor. And let me say this. I didn't know how it was going to happen. This was going to come about. For a long time, I have made the offer, if you didn't have a pastor, I will be that pastor. That offer is done. That window's closed. That part of my ministry no longer exists. I am committed to those of you that have no pastor, no rabbi, you're not a part of any church, congregation, or whatever. I will continue to cover you and pray for you and be here for you. But the door is closed. I'm not doing that anymore. The Lord's taking me and this ministry to a different place, and I have to answer the call. So don't worry if I've already spoken to you or if I reach out to you in the next day or so to confirm that you're good, you're covered. But if we haven't had that conversation, or you now sit someplace, will you tithe and you sit under somebody's teaching? That's your covering. That's where you are. So look to them when you have a problem. Don't come to me. So here we are, cleansing of the temple. Did anything change for the Jews? It changed for a little while. Unfortunately, if you remember some of the teachings in the past, Judah Maccabee, although anointed by God to do what he did, although he was used to destroy the demonic hold on Judah, didn't trust God and sent his nephew, his brother Jonathan's son, to cut a deal with Rome. And that's how the Jews in Rome became affiliated. That's how Herod, who was from the lineage of the Maccabees, who was a Pharisee, became appointed by Rome. See, compromise always has consequences. Who are you cutting a deal with? Who are you cutting a deal with in this world? Who have you said, well, I'm a believer, I'm sold out, I'm forgiven, I'm under the blood, but I'm going to compromise. I'm going to compromise, and his grace is going to cover me. Grace doesn't cover presumptuous sin. What is presumptuous sin? Presumptuous sin is, I know it's sin, and I'm going to do it anyway. Sorry, it doesn't work. So, during this time of Hanukkah, we have 4 days left. I'm going to challenge you, if you're really serious about this, and if you're not, you're listening to the wrong show. If you're really serious about wanting to move on with the Lord, wanting to move in the signs and wonders, wanting to have a word in season, wanting to have hope and faith in a world that wants to take that away from you, take a look at your temple. You, spiritually, physically, is there anything in your life that is compromised? Is there anything in your life, any choices you've made, that defiles the temple? I could start rattling things off right now that have just jumped through my mind of how we defile ourselves every day by what we watch, what we listen to, what we put in our body, what we put on our body, the places that we go, the people that we come into agreement with. But I'm going to let the Spirit do it for you so that you hear it from his voice and not mine, and you're not manipulated by what I say. But if we're going to be believers, if we're going to walk the walk and talk the talk, it's time to get real. It's time during the Festival of Lights, the Feast of Dedication, to let the light and the glory of the Lord, the light of the Holy Spirit, illuminate and expose. See, that's the thing about light. You can't hide in the light, which is why in John, when it talks about that he is the light of the world, he came into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because they didn't want their deeds to be seen. When I used to do security, I used to be in some places late at night until it was time to close, and would have to stay there until the doors were locked and everybody was out. And then the lights would come on, and people would begin to slink out into the night to go do whatever it is they were going to do. And it was always a shock when the lights came on, to see what people actually looked like, to who they were, to who they were with, to the choices that they had made. And you could see they didn't like it. They kind of turned their head away, and they kind of shrunk down, rolled their shoulders forward. That's what light does, and that's why the world doesn't want it. That's why the political system doesn't want it. That's why the educational system doesn't want it. That's why the entertainment system doesn't want it. They don't want the light of the Lord. They don't want the light of the Holy Spirit. They definitely don't want anything that's going to expose them for who they are. So every night we celebrate Hanukkah here, and we don't do it religiously. We don't read the rituals. We don't do the chants. We don't do any of the things that maybe some of the Orthodox Jews or Orthodox Messianic people do. And I'm okay with that, and so is the Lord. But what I do each night, we have scriptures we read, dedications we make, and we just talk to the Lord. And tonight, as I was lighting the fourth candle, four is the number of holiness. And I looked at the servant candle, the shamash, and I always use the white candle for that, and it sits higher than the rest. And last week we talked about the cross, and Yeshua said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men, all men to me. And that shamash is higher than the rest. It's lifted up, and it's the one that has to light the rest. And as I was looking at the four candles, who each had their own glow, some were a little bit brighter than others, but as time went on, an amazing thing happened. When I first lit them and I actually took the pictures, The flames were bright and they were all different. One was higher than another. But after a little while, as they wax melted down, they were all the same height. And I saw in that a lot of things. One is we all come into this walk differently. We come into it, some of us more on fire than others. But the longer we walk with the Lord, the more we burn with Him. The Holy Spirit evens things out in accordance with who we are. And that quest for holiness is something we can't do on our own, which is why you can't live by the law. And I know some people still think they can, and let me know how that works out for you when you stand before Him and say, well, since you turned your back on the cross and you came to me under the law, you missed one aspect of it, therefore you missed it all. I don't want that risk. I want to stand before Him knowing that the cross took care of that. That if I love Him with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength, and everything in me, and I love my neighbor as myself, I've fulfilled what He wants me to fulfill. But as I looked at that menorah tonight, and I looked at the Shemash, the servant candle, the Messiah, the suffering servant of the Almighty, sent to do what He did for us at His own detriment, in pain, I just stared at it for a while, just thinking of all the times that He was there for me, of all the times I fell and didn't think I was worthy to get up, that He either sent somebody to help me get up or He Himself showed up through the Holy Spirit or an angel to encourage me. And there have been many times over all these years that that has happened. Because sometimes I'm a bull in a china shop and I will blunder into things and then realize the mistakes and the things that were broken that should never have been broken. And my love for Him is so great that when I fall and when I mess up, it breaks me. But He's always been good to encourage me and help me get back on my feet, which has been a lesson for me to be patient with other people. But you see, everything's about Him. And as I worked on this today, and as I thought about this, I kept thinking back to the cross. You know, last week about being cross-fit. And it's amazing how those of us who are on this side of the covenant, it starts at the cross. And without it, you can't move on. You can't make the journey. You can't even get to the point that we're talking about now. And so for some of you who tell me that you have prayed the prayer, you've made Him Lord of your life, you believe that you're born again, but you can't get past step one. My word to you is, stay at the cross. And let His glory, let that light expose and illuminate what's holding you back. Because if you're not paying attention, first of all, you can't be listening to me on Wednesdays or Sundays and not be paying attention. If you're not paying attention, then you're missing the fact that we're running out of time. And things are changing so quickly, you don't have time to think about it. As I said in the video that I made and posted on YouTube, on December 2nd, 80 people went to a Christmas party. And 14 of those people walked off into eternity to a destination of their own choosing. And I do not know from the time that the trigger was pulled and the bullet hit them and took their life, did they have time to pray? Did they have time to repent? Did they have time to cry out for Him? Did time slow down, or was it gone in the snap of a finger, in the blink of an eye? See, that's the thing that frightens me for people that I love in the days ahead. Because decisions will become eternal. Lack of decisions will become eternal. Hiding in the shadows, in the darkness, from the light, because you don't want the secret things to be exposed, will become final decisions. There is no purgatory. Stop the nonsense about, well, there's this place where you go and people pray for you. And you work out your sins that you didn't work out on the earth. And you pay your way into heaven. Maybe somebody gives some, they give you money. They give money to the church. And no, stop. There is no purgatory. It's not in the Bible. It's something the church made up to charge petitions to make money for the people that suddenly realize their loved ones that died without Yeshua, died without being born again, are eternally damned. Decisions are final. Make the right decision now. Take this time of illumination to get right with the Lord. Take this time to understand that this world is passing away and everything in it. There's nothing in this world of any value that goes with us except your relationship with the Lord, your decision that you make in regards to Him. Your homes, your cars, your bank accounts, your technology, worthless in the grand scheme of things. Absolutely worthless. You know, that idiot comment that he who dies with the most toys wins? Oh, my goodness, how stupid can you be for the people that believe that or propagate that? If you're dead, the toys are no longer yours. They go to your third, fourth, and fifth wife and all of your children, legitimate or otherwise, and for everybody to fight over, and you stand before him naked on your own based upon the decisions you made in your life. And as I looked at all these notes and I looked at all the history of Hanukkah and I meditated on the whole concept, it was tonight as I sat before the menorah that I began to realize what the message was. The message is, live in the light. Live a life of illumination. Come out of the shadows. If you have to go into a room and close the door, if you have to get away from people and prying eyes, something's wrong because you can't do it in the light. But this is also a time that we need to listen to the words of the Lord when he says in Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. And if I had all your names of everybody listening, I'd put your name in there and I'd keep reading it. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. During the next 4 days of Hanukkah, take a good look at your light and what you reflect. And is it something that you'd be proud to put on a lampstand for all the world to see? Is it something that would lead people to Him? Only you know. People are sitting in darkness and they'll notice a great light. I did. I've told you the story over and over. Before I was saved, when I went down to Tallahassee to visit my wife and my son, who I was estranged from, separated from, and they took me to church in Tallahassee. You didn't have to tell me the presence of God was there. I could feel it. I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it did not sit well with what was inside of me, and I did not want to be in its presence. I felt conviction. That's what light does. It exposes you. See, light brings revelation. See, he was a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory to the people of Israel, and unfortunately his own people rejected him. But I read that scripture out of John 3. I paraphrased, didn't read it, sorry. Starting with verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. I didn't want my deeds to be seen. I didn't want to come to the light. You know what drew me to the light was his love. What drew me into the light, what drew me into his illumination was his love. And the fact that I realized I needed a Savior. Without knowing it, instinctively I knew that he was the light of the world, and whoever follows him would not walk in darkness but have the light of life. And I've talked about how when I went back to New York, people noticed there was something different about me. Some people even asked me, have you had a facelift? Your skin looks great. Have you had a skin peel? Or no. And some people I was able to tell, and others didn't want to hear it. But I'd been delivered. I've been delivered, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the light and the love of his Son. Ephesians 5:14, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Messiah will give you light. Acts 26, starting verse 17, I will deliver you from the Jewish people, this is the Lord speaking, as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, and he's speaking to Paul, to open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Hasatan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. You can't hide in darkness and be saved. You can't hide in darkness and be forgiven, and you'll have no peace. But until Messiah, Yeshua, comes again and becomes the light of the world, literally, we must shine in a time when the world not only doesn't want it, but is willing to kill us to keep us from doing it. First, they'll shut us up. Then they'll put us in jail. And then eventually, when they realize we won't shut up, they'll try to kill us. Arise, shine. Because the servant candle, the Shemash, Yeshua, has lit you to shine. You know, as I worked on this today, and as I prayed, and as I just walked around and did other things, took care of the dogs, took them out, or whatever I was doing, I kept thinking, I kept praying, and I kept listening. And I realized that the only message of any value is Yeshua and him crucified, salvation, being born again, saved, healed, and delivered. And to do that, we have to talk about light and darkness. We have to talk about the cross. And we can get into the symbolism of the menorah and all those other things, but the fact is very basic. That there is no other name in heaven or on earth by which we may be saved. There's no other name but Yeshua's. There's no other name that does it. All these other great religious leaders died. Their bodies decayed into the ground. So-and-so was taken up into heaven on a horse. Yeah, I don't think so. Don't think so. 500 witnesses saw Jesus, Yeshua, during that period of time before he arose into heaven. There's only one who rose from the dead and sits at the right hand of the Father. There's only one who will come back. That's Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMashiach. That's it. There is no one else who can bring light into the darkness. All the others will bring lots of different things, but they won't bring light, and they won't bring salvation. So the question goes back to, what in your life needs to go? Because here's the problem. Daniel prophesied something. He prophesied Antiochus Epiphanes. He prophesied all of these other Antiochuses, all these Antichrists would come until eventually the one would arise, foretold by Daniel, to trouble Israel again, that would cause the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come back and game over. We are heading towards that moment in history. I don't know who the Antichrist is, and I really, really don't care. But I do know the one who's going to whip his butt. I do know the one who's going to put him in his place. I do know the one who's going to mop him up and mop up his soldiers and his followers and his demons and his fallen angels. I know that one, and that's the only one I need to know. When he arises, I'll know. Until now, it really doesn't matter. See, that's why there's no admonition from the Lord or from the disciples to figure out who the Antichrist is. That's why there's no admonition to study all these ancillary things that have nothing to do with getting people saved, healed, and delivered. The only responsibility you have, and I have, is to do what he told us to do, to go and make disciples of all men and to prepare for the return of the King. So when I look at Hanukkah, when I look at this period of time, I look at it as a time to rededicate, to refine, to reboot my life. As I've said, this ministry is about to be rebooted. It's being fine-tuned. It's been illuminated to show me things that I need to change or things I need to cut out completely. Because there's no time for foolishness. There's no time for ancillary things. Oh, run here, run there, do this, do that. There's no time. There's just no time. The rich man, I want to follow you, but okay, go sell everything you have. Oh, that's so hard. Bye. See you later. The Lord didn't stop. Oh, I want to follow you, but my father died. Let the dead bury the dead. The Lord didn't stop. Because if you're going to follow him, you will. Many people have the desire, but they don't have the commitment. They don't have the dedication. And here's how I'm challenging you, and maybe it'll be just one person that hears this. Maybe I'm only talking to one person out of the hundreds that listen to this. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're caught up in the nonsense of Christmas. Here we go. Here's where I get myself in trouble and have somebody else cancel their monthly offering. Maybe you're caught up in Christmas trees and wreaths and mistletoes and all this other nonsense. Maybe you're one of those people that got caught up in Starbucks taking Christmas off of a cup that actually has a pagan goddess on the front of it. Maybe it's time for you to lay all that before the Lord and say, Lord, what do you think about my traditions? What do you think about the things passed down to me from my mother and my grandmother, and the things that give me comfort and remind me of my youth? How do you feel about these things? I don't know. He may tell you it's okay. I know you love me anyway. I don't know. I don't expect that's what's going to be, but I don't know his relationship with you. I know he's been gentle with me through the years, and there's times he could have punished me and he didn't. And I came to the realization on my own, and I tell you, every time I've done that, every time I've seen something that I did in the past that his grace covered, my head drops and my shoulders roll forward, and I can't believe I did it. Can't believe I didn't catch it. And then the Spirit will come, but you didn't know. And I judged you based upon what you knew. And that should frighten you, because some of you are doing things you know are wrong. So if he's the reason for every season under the Father's command and care, not just this ridiculous season of commerce and the synchronization or syncretism of a holiday to a demonic entity, and say, well, that's not who I'm worshiping. Well, okay, whatever. But he's the reason for every season. So if that's the case, then shouldn't we take the time to cleanse the temple? Shouldn't we rededicate ourselves to him and his service? We are the righteous ones of Yeshua. We are the only ones who can do what he asked us to do. He didn't send angels to do us. He commissioned us. He gave us all authority in heaven and earth to do what must be done. The angels are there in a support capacity, but we're the ones who he put his creative power into and said, go, go do this, cast out demons. Heal the sick, raise the dead, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear. That's us. We're the righteous ones of Messiah. That through a word, somebody who's been hurt or abused or has, he can give you a word that will snap the chains off of them and set them free. He may anoint your hands so that you lay hands on somebody and they're healed, or give you a hug that comes from a throne room and you pass it on to somebody and every bad thing that's ever been happened to them is washed away. But to do that, you must take this time to cleanse the temple and rededicate yourself to him. Father, I come to you now on behalf of your children. I come to you in the name of Yeshua. Lord, I pray that my words were what you wanted said. And if there's anything I said that wasn't of you, let it be forgotten right now. But Lord, we want to shine the light. We want to be beacons in the storm, lighthouses that draw people home and to safety before they're shipwrecked. We want to be the ones that help heal relationships and lead people home. I ask right now through your Holy Spirit and through your angels that you would help us to do this. We are limited in our capacity and our understanding and our frailties and our humanness. Give us a good word in season. Give us a word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I ask right now for everyone listening who agrees and wants it, for the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit to be manifested in them, seen, exposed, used, that fruit would grow and the power of the Spirit would move through them. If somebody has stumbled upon this and they're not saved, or they're not where they need to be, or they're backslidden and they're hiding like the prodigal son did in the pig pen, I say to you, come home. Come home. A simple sorry, I made a mistake, can I come home? It'll be a resounding yes. That's why the word says the angels in heaven rejoice when one person is saved. They party, they sing, they cheer when one person is saved. Come home. Let this be your time. Let this be your time to shine. Let this be your time that your testimony be used for all those out there that are just like you and need to hear it. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your love. I thank you for the ability that in the darkness we can shine and offer people hope. Lord, I pray that you'll set the captives free. Right now in the Spirit, I see so many people that are hiding the wounds, hiding the sins and the choices. Heal them, Lord. Pull everything hidden out into the open. No more hiding, no more shadows. Shine the light. Shine the light of Hanukkah. Shine the light of your glory. Shine the light of the rededication of the temple onto them. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for doing this. I thank you for this night. And I thank you for what's coming. I thank you for you, because you're coming. We stand in awe of you. We touch and we agree. In Yeshua's name, amen. Well, we made it through. We caught up. Technology tried to stop us, but couldn't do it. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.